Life every day is filled with choices. From the very moment that we reach that age of understanding until the day that we reach the grave, some of those choices that we have to make really are trivial. Don't really matter. What we shall eat for breakfast, does it really matter? What we eat for dinner or tea or whatever, does it really matter? Does it really matter what we were? The ladies might think so, but does it really matter what we were? But some of the choices are, while it's trivial, there's choices in life that we make and that we have to make that can be life-changing choices that will change our future, that will change our path, that will change our direction. Choices that we make can be choices that can ruin us. It's not easy nowadays, I believe, for young people to choose what path or what career to follow in life. For who knows where that path, after maybe 4 or 5 years of university, who knows where that path will lead them? Who knows if there will be something for them at the end of the day, at the end of the course? Will there be an opportunity for them? The choices that they have to make regarding their career can be life-changing. Then there is the choice of young people who they will marry. Unless they want to keep their own money and to get rich and just to stay as they are single, they have to choose who they will spend the rest of their life with. Life-changing choices. These can be life-changing choices, and the wrong choice can be ruinous, can be destructive. And sadly, when we consider the life of Lot in the Old Testament, he made the wrong choice. Lot made one wrong choice that set his feet on a path of compromise. He made the wrong choice when he lifted up his eyes and he beheld the plains of Jordan and said, "I'll go that way." You see, Lot made his choice with his eyes. He made his choice based on the prospect of prosperity, the green pastures, the well-watered plain. He made his choice in the prospect of prosperity, even though it would lead him down towards Sodom. And Sodom always speaks of the world. Sodom speaks of sin. Even though it would lead him down towards Sodom, towards the world and unto compromise, he chose that path. And when we follow the path that Lot chose in life, we see how Lot, bit by bit, slowly but surely, given more and more as time went on, and compromise followed compromise, and even though he remained a good man, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 7 and 8 says, even though he remained a good man, a just man, and a righteous man, still, his life was ruined. And his testimony was marred by the choice that he made that day when he chose to go towards the well-watered plains. Lot remained a good man. He died a righteous man. For his soul was vexed with the filthy conversation and the conduct of those around him in Sodom. But he compromised. What an awful price he paid for his compromise cost him everything. And Lot lost everything. He went after prosperity and gain, but he lost everything that he ever accumulated. And whenever I say he lost it all, he lost it all. Every last thing that he accumulated went up in smoke. Indeed, Lot, when we look at the life of Lot, Lot was brought up in a godly home under the influence of his uncle Abram. But one of the last scenes of Lot in the scriptures is of him in a drunken stupor, fathering the children of his own daughters. He's vowing, the last look that we get of Abraham in the Old Testament, or of Lot, I should say, in the Old Testament, he's lying in a drunken stupor, committing incest. This was a man who once stood at the altar, but look at where he ended. Look at where he ended and how he ended. How did it all begin? It began with a bad choice, which was followed by compromise. We think of Cain earlier on in the book of Genesis. Cain, who instead of coming God's appointed way of salvation, and remember, listen folks, Cain knew the way of salvation well. But instead of coming God's way of salvation, Cain, he chose to come by his own way. It's known as the way of Cain in the scriptures. And in disobedience to God, what did Cain do? He offered the work of his own hands. He made a choice. God said to make a sacrifice of a lamb. Cain made a choice, and he chose to offer the first fruits, or even the best fruits of his hand. He made a choice. And like Lot, he lost all that he had. Cain lost his home, for he became a vagabond and a fugitive in the earth. But not only did he lose his home, he lost his peace. For he feared that everyone that findeth me, he says, shall kill me. Cain, he made the wrong choice. He lost his home and he lost his peace. Cain, he was too proud. And he made his choice because of his pride. But Lot made his choice. It was based on greed. But both Cain and Lot lost everything that they had obtained and accumulated in their life. They lost it all. And I want to say this, that we must be careful. The child of God, you and I, every one of us, we must be careful about our choices in life. For one wrong choice made by our eyes, or based on our greed, or based on our pride, one wrong choice, one foolish choice, can ruin our lives. It can ruin our homes. It can destroy our families. One wrong choice can mar our testimony forever. Unsaved one this morning, let me say to you, don't be so foolish to reject Christ. You have a choice to make this morning. Whether you will accept Christ or reject Christ, don't make a foolish choice, but choose Christ today and go on in the path of righteousness. Don't follow the path of sin. Choose Christ. Don't go down the broad road, for it leads to hell and to destruction. Choose Christ today. Child of God, choose Christ today. Put the Lord first in your life. And all your choices in life, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what happens when we lean on our own understanding? We make foolish choices. We make choices that are ruinous and destructive. Lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, and he'll lead you in the right path. It'll be the path of righteousness. But today, as I've said, I want us to consider Lot. The choice, his choice, and his compromise. Now, firstly, notice how Lot compromised his faith. After the death of his father, Lot was left an orphan, left fatherless. And so he was taken in. He was adopted by his godly uncle, Abraham. Now, even though he was fatherless, Lot was not penniless. For he would have inherited whatever and everything that belonged to his father. He might have been fatherless, but he wasn't penniless. And under the supervision and guidance of Abram, Lot's herds grew. And they multiplied until both Lot and Abraham, they were what we would call big farmers. They were wealthy men. But also under the guidance and the supervision of Abram, Lot would have known what God required of him spiritually. Lot had been taught the ways of God in Abram's house. He had been taught to fear the Lord by his godly uncle, and he did, for the scriptures refer to him as just Lot. The word means holy. And Lot knew what God required of him. He knew the ways of God. He knew to fear the Lord. But having all that knowledge, Lot had a problem. It was a fleshly problem. And he could never get away from that problem. And that problem was his greed. He could never get enough. Lot loved to be prosperous. He loved to do well. He loved the money. He could never get enough of it. Indeed, he would do whatever needed to be done for financial gain. That was Lot. He loved the Lord, but he loved money more, I think. This problem seemed to dominate all of Lot's life. And center and control his whole thinking. For it seems that Lot, we never read of Lot building an altar. And that tells us that even though he was a good man morally, he never really had an awful time for God. He never built an altar that we read of. What does that tell us? That Lot never spent much time with God. What was wrong? Was he too busy? Too busy. You know, I just wonder how much time you spend with God. How much time do you spend with God? This is God's day. How much time will you spend with God? When you go out through the door, is that it done for the day? Lot never spent much time with God, for Lot never had an altar. Is there an altar in your home? But this problem that he had with greed determined the choices that he made in life. In Genesis 13, the herds and the flocks of both Abram and Lot had grown so big that the land was no longer able to sustain them. And Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, they were actually fighting with one another. There was strife. They were fighting over the pasture and over the water. Now, Lot seemed to be just content enough. Though they were fighting, Lot was content enough, for he never made any intervention. That tells us something more about his greed. He didn't care who fought, so long as he was gaining. But Abram was more godly than Lot. Abram wasn't happy. He wasn't content with his herdsmen fighting over grass and water. Fighting over grass. I was brought up on a farm. And I know what it's like to get two farmers. And the finger goes and they're fighting to see who can get the grass. And who can hire the field for the year. Rent the field. But here was Abraham, he wasn't happy with the fighting. And so he intervenes. And in chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, we read, "And Abram said to Lot," it's not the other way around, did you notice that? Lot doesn't really care, but Abraham does, he says. "And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. And then he says to him, miss not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Abraham's not based his conditions on greed. He's happy to have whatever Lot leaves, I'll take. That was Abram's thinking. There's no greed here. But there is with Lot. Now I want you to notice how Lot made his choice. Doesn't tell us that he sought the Lord. Doesn't tell us that Lot stopped to think about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Doesn't tell us anything that got wrong. Look at verses 10 and 11 of chapter 13 in Genesis. We read, "And Lot lifted up his eyes." That was it. It didn't bother me. He lifted up his eyes and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. He's leaving the altar. And he has made his choice with his eyes. He never sought the Lord. He lifted up his eyes and he looked at the green fields, looked at the well-watered plain. And he knew that his herds and his flocks, they would thrive well down there. They put on the flesh. They would grow. And then there was those cities. He never thought about the sin of those cities and what it would do to him and his family. All he thought was, there's customers, there's grass, there's money. There's money to be made. And even though he knew about the sin of Sodom, money was more important, money was more attractive. And so even though he knew better and knew what God expected of him, what did he do? At that moment he compromised his faith for profit and for gain. Compromised his faith for money. And he chose to go down towards Sodom. And from that moment on, his life spiritually went downhill for him. It says he went down physically, but he went down spiritually as well. You know, we live in a day when it's more profitable to compromise. If we compromised in the church here, we could fill those seats. To be fundamental and to stick by the book is not popular in these days, and therefore it's not profitable either. But can I say this? The gains that come by compromising our faith and our stand, the gains that we get by these are short-lived. For the gains that we get out of compromising our faith and our stand, they're without the blessings of God. Without the blessings of God, they'll never endure. We can never compromise our faith or compromise in our stand on the Word of God. But not only did Lot compromise his faith, Lot compromised his fellowship. Lot had been adopted and brought up by a saint, by his uncle Abram. But now circumstances had forced them to part company, and it had forced them to go their separate ways. Now, Lot, even though he went towards Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't really have to make them his friends. And he shouldn't have made them his friends. Rather, he should have denounced them for their sin, but he didn't. For in Genesis chapter 19 and the verse 1, that's why we read it together, we read, "And there came two angels of Sodom to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." The gate of that city would have been a gathering place for the Sodomites to gather and to talk. It was also, the gate was also a place where quarrels and disputes were sorted out by judges of the city. So Lot, we believe, became a judge in the city of Sodom. He had made friends with the people, and he had been promoted to a judge. Lot, who had sat with the saint, look at who he's sitting with now. He's sitting with the Sodomites. And when they talked about their sin and laughed about what they had done, Lot never rebuked them. Why not? Probably because they were his customers for his cattle and for his sheep. And if he rebuked them, if he annoyed them, well, then that could risk business. And he could lose business and he could lose money. And so for the sake of money and for the sake of filthy lucre, Lot compromised his fellowship. He got in with the wrong company. He got in with the Sodomites. He got in with the sinful crowd. And they led him another step down the road to destruction. Here's something that we all must be careful about. And that's our company. Young people, watch your company. Older person, watch your company. The company of those whom you make your friends. Just be careful about who you choose as your friend. Never compromise on your faith and what the scriptures teach for the sake of gains or friends. Compromise of any sort will take us back towards the world, down towards Sodom, back to the ungodly. And whenever we go towards the ungodly, you know what's happening? It's taking us away from God. And it will take us further, and it will sink us deeper and lower than we could ever think imaginable. Lot used to sit with the saint before he sat with the Sodomites. You say it would never happen to me. It happened to Lot. It could happen to any one of us. A man who sat with a saint is now sitting with the Sodomites. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5 verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch your company. You could end up like Lot. He sat with a saint. But down the path of compromise, he's sitting with the Sodomites. But not only did Lot compromise his faith and his fellowship, Lot compromised his family. This is grieving. It's almost unbelievable that a man would do what Lot did. In Genesis chapter 19, two angels came down to where Sodom, or where Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, to tell him, to warn him, to flee out of the city, for God was going to destroy the city because of its sin. But when Lot saw these angels, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. You see the reverence, you see the fear, you see the respect that he has for God and even for these angels. He bows himself with his face to the ground. He's paying them homage, but not only that, he constrained them to tarry with him, to stay with him that night. Note that Lot now has built a house, or bought a house, whatever. He's either bought or built a house in Sodom. And he's not only sitting with them now in the gate, but he's living with them in the city. Sodomites has become his newfound friends. But they were only friends as he thought. That night, his so-called friends gathered around his house. And they demanded that Lot would bring the two men, the two angels out, that they could abuse them with their sinful ways. And when Lot went out to try and put them off, what did they do? His so-called friends now, they turned on him. And they said in Genesis chapter 19 in the verse 9, stand back. They demanded that Lot would bring the two angels out. Now they're telling him, stand by. Out of the road, Lot. They said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Look at what they say. Now will we deal worse with him than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Here's these gentle, loving Sodomites, as we're told they are. Look at what they're planning. We'll deal worse with him than with them. And they came near to break the door. I tell you, there's not much love and there's not much compassion in this picture or in this verse. Indeed, if it hadn't have been for the angels that night pulling Lot back into the house and closing the doors and blinding those Sodomites would have killed Lot. They'd have killed him. But look at how Lot was prepared to compromise his family. It's hard to believe that a man who stood at the altar would sink so low as this man had already done. Already he had given some of his daughters to be married to to the men of Sodom, for when he went and told his sons-in-laws, they laughed at him. So here was Lot, and he had already given some of his daughters to these Sodomites to be married. Can you imagine a father doing that? Giving his daughter to a Sodomite who will never love her, but just treat her like a skivvy to do his housework and to look after him. Can you imagine a man letting his daughter, giving his daughter to marry a Sodomite? But that's how low, that's how far Lot had went. As a father myself, I believe that Lot plumbed the depths of disgrace and shame when he offered the Sodomites his two pure daughters if they would leave the angels alone. He had still two daughters at home. And he took them out and he offered them to the Sodomites. How low can a man get? How low can a father get? What a shame. What a disgrace on Lot's testimony. In verse 8, when the Sodomites told Lot to bring the two angels out, he bargained with them, saying, bargaining with his daughters instead of protecting them. He's bargaining with them, saying in verses 7 and 8, I pray you, brethren. Look at what he's calling these Sodomites now. He's calling them brethren. He refers to the Sodomites as his brother. That's what some are doing in the apostate churches today, calling the Sodomites, they're our brethren. And they're not mine, I tell you that. In verses 7 and 8, Lot says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. But this is sickening. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Imagine a man bringing his wee daughter out and saying, do ye to them as is good in your eyes. That's a shame. What a disgrace. Isn't it just unbelievably sad, but unbelievably sad when we see just how far a just man can sink when he starts out on the path of compromise. Thankfully, the action of the angels that night stopped Lot's two daughters being cast to these Sodomites at this time. Not that they wanted the two wee girls. The Sodomites didn't want these two wee girls. They didn't. They wanted the angels. They wanted the men. But later, Lot's compromise cost him his family. Cost him his wife. For when she looked back towards Sodom in disobedience, she turned into a pillar of salt. If he never had went down to the plain, he would never have lost his wife. Not only that, but spiritually Lot had lost his two daughters. For they made him drunk and they lay with him and conceived children to their own father. He lost his wife physically. And he lost his daughter spiritually. And it just went from bad to worse, for two sons were born of those two daughters. The two sons were Moab and Ammon. The fathers of the Moabites and the Ammonites. They became the arch enemies of God's people. You know, that was the result of drink. That these two boys were born, they made their father drunk. That's the cost of drink. People will tell you there's no harm in a drink, is there not? It's the devil in a bottle. And it's the snare in your life. And the destruction of your testimony. There's a cost of drink, but not only the cost of drink, the cost of compromise and the cost of sin. How we need to take our stand and how we need to take our walk with God. But then I want you to notice in closing, Lot compromised with his fortune. He compromised his faith, his fellowship, his family, but he compromised his fortune. Lot had chosen the grassy, well-watered plains towards Sodom and Gomorrah, for there the money was to be made and the customers were to be found. And in doing so, he had to compromise on his faith, but he thought the money was worth compromise. And no doubt he made a fortune, I've no doubt about that, he made a fortune in those green grassy plains, selling his meat, his sheep and his cattle to the Sodomites. He made a fortune, so much so that he quit living in a tent and he bought or built himself a house in Sodom. Tells us of the money he made. And thus, he compromised his fellowship then. Indeed, just about everything that Lot had worked for and everything that he had accumulated, it was invested in Sodom. We'll call it the Bank of Sodom. He invested everything in the Bank of Sodom. Not only that, but that's where his daughters, that's where his family had married. That's where they lived. Everything that he had was in Sodom. But in Genesis 19, in the verses 15 and 16, the angels eventually took Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And these angels dragged them out of the city. It was hard to leave the money behind. It was hard for Lot to leave the house, the money all behind, but that they had to be dragged out of the city in the morning time. And as soon as they had reached the place of safety, we read in Genesis 19, verses 24 and 25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city. That includes his daughters and his sons-in-law. All the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Sodom was burnt to the ground. Do you know what that meant? It meant that everything that Lot had gained by his compromise, everything that he accumulated, was burnt up and destroyed in a morning. In a moment, it was gone. A lifetime of compromise and a lifetime of gain was burnt up, lost in a moment. Lot was left bankrupt. All he had was what he was on his back and on his feet when he left Sodom. His daughters shows what they were like. They brought a bottle or a skin full of wine. And that bottle, that skin full of wine, eventually cost Lot his testimony and his future. Lot, just Lot, for in spite of his failures because of his compromise, Lot was still vexed with the filthy conversation or conduct or the behavior of the wicked. But Lot lost everything that he had worked for. Lot lost everything that he had gained by his compromise. It went up in smoke in a matter of minutes when the judgment of God fell upon it. I couldn't stand up against the scrutiny of God, for Lot had thrown in his portion with the wrong people, living in the wrong place, all because of greed, money. You know, I wonder later in life, I just wonder if Lot ever thought about that choice that he made when he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. You know, I wonder, did he ever regret making that choice and everything that he had done since then? At times I wonder, did he ever feel ashamed for offering his two daughters to those Sodomites that night? You know, I wonder, did Lot ever wish that he could live his life again, that he might do things different? You know, I don't know. But we don't read that he ever did build an altar when all this had happened. Did Lot learn from his mistakes? Or did he die a compromiser? A just man and a righteous man, but an apostate, a compromiser? Did he stand guilty before God and ashamed of the worldly life that he had lived. Lot was saved. He was saved. But only saved, as the scripture describes it, saved as by fire. He was saved, but his life was fruitless. When he stood before God, he had nothing to be proud of, nothing to offer God. And he had no stars in his crown. Well, today let us learn the lesson about the foolishness, costliness of compromise. We're put under pressure, we're put under stress all the time as believers to give in. As Free Presbyterians, we're under pressure all the time to give in, to compromise. Other little things slip under the carpet and get people in. Let us take our stand. Unsaved one, if you continue to compromise with sin and to play with sin and reject Christ as your Savior, let me tell you again before I close, it'll cost you everything. If you compromise with sin and reject Christ, it will cost you your soul. For your soul will be lost in hell for all eternity. You need to have done with sin. You need to get to the cross today. You need to be washed in the blood of Christ. Just to put it simply, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. No more compromise with sin. Get to the cross. Accept Christ as your Savior. Child of God, the moment that you choose to compromise your faith and to depart from what the Scriptures teach, let me tell you something. That first choice you make will set your feet on a path that leads downwards. And you might not think it, but you'll do things. And you'll allow things and you'll justify things that you never thought that you would ever do or allow or justify. Compromise is costly. It will cost you everything. Let me encourage you today, walk with God. Choose Christ, walk with God, and walk according to His Word.